just on ESPN every hour, every day now.
Just about. Like, from what I understand, they're going to run the finals like 12 times or something like that after it's aired live.
Wow. That's, I think, Saturday night, because you were up and at them pretty early Saturday, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday, up early. It was a long weekend, but glad to get it behind me.
Yeah, let me be your agent and get you some more money for all the extra work you're doing. My word. Yeah, a long weekend. I mean, so wait, guys, this started Thursday with the South Carolina game, and it went from there all the way to Monday.
I'll just jump right in, Mark, and on that South Carolina game, because a lot of people in Arkansas were going, oh, South Carolina must not be that good. They only won by 4 points. First of all, it looked to me like the quarterback had a separated shoulder or something out there. And second of all, Arkansas went to Vanderbilt last year and only won by a point. Steve Spurrier has turned it over where he doesn't rely on the quarterback as much as he used to, particularly since he's got Lattimore. Do you see South Carolina going down now, or are they going to be able to bounce back? Not that they lost, but they appeared to have lost their quarterback or his effectiveness anyhow.
Yeah, Connor Shaw hurt his shoulder. We were told it was a bruise before, a deep bruise, and he's got a problem even lifting his arm from what I understand. And if he doesn't play, it's going to be tough for them to win once they play a quality opponent, because you saw when he was out of the game, he didn't move the football because all they did is they lined up 8 and 9 guys at the box to stop Marcus Lattimore, which teams will do in that situation because you're going to have an unproven quarterback in there. But the thing that Lattimore gives you, and when he's in there, they're both there at the same time, you've got the ability to run with Connor Shaw. He still ran for over 90 yards in that game. And that's why you can't put 8 and 9 in the box, because if you do focus on Marcus Lattimore when Connor Shaw's in the game, he'll pull it down and run with it.
And
very effective doing that.
I only ask of you one thing today, and that's that you talk long enough about college football so we don't get so we don't get around to the Cowboys, okay?
I already got it when you called me. The first thing he says, how about those Cowboys?
RJ, our producer, yes, he was a big Cowboys fan just like Roger. So
yesterday we were making our picks, and I picked just because I do it every year, because if they win it, then I won the bet. I picked them to win the NFC East, so it's kind of a win-win situation for me, so I could care less. But elsewhere in college football last week, let's start at the top, and then we'll turn it over to Baz and Raj. Are the Alabama Crimson Tide, is the Alabama Crimson Tide that much better than the rest of college football?
I think it's too hard to tell right now, because I know that they're a good football team. We all know that. We just don't know how good Michigan is. When I broke Michigan down before this game, I went back and I said, they don't have a quality win. Their quality win last year was Nebraska. Nebraska played probably their worst football game of the year against Michigan. They turned it over a bunch of times that game. But if you look at it, most of the teams that they played last year were 6-7 or 7-6, and Ohio State had a down year. So yep. when you go back, and yes, they did win the Sugar Bowl, but that was against Virginia Tech from the ACC. The ACC, no, they never win, you know, big bowl games. They never win BCS games. So when you break their schedule down, they really didn't play that well, you know, or have a quality win. So, you know, matching against Alabama, I thought Alabama would thump them. I thought they'd thump them up front, which they did. I thought they controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I thought their defense would play well. If you go back and look at the Michigan score, one was because one of the defensive backs slipped and fell down on the touchdown pass. So if you go back, they shouldn't have scored 14 points in that game, but they did. So Alabama's a very good football team. We're going to find out how good they are in the next couple of weeks, especially when they play Arkansas in 2 weeks. So, they're a good team.
That's exactly right. I do want to ask, this weekend you've got two marquee games in the SEC, two new members, Missouri hosting Georgia and A&M hosting Florida. Your thoughts on those two games?
I'm really interested to see how they can hold up, particularly against the defenses in the SEC. All the teams from the Big 12, they've got great offenses. Nobody had a defense in that conference. So we're going to find out how good they are now when they play against the big boys. They're going to play against two pretty good defenses in this conference, Georgia and Florida. So that's what I'm interested in seeing. For Texas A&M, they're starting a redshirt freshman that's never started before.
Wow.
So we're going to find out a lot about them, because we don't know anything about them because they haven't played yet, because their game was postponed. And for Missouri, we're going to find out how good they are. They've got one of those defensive tackles up there spouting off, saying they're playing old man football in the SEC. Well, there's as John Gruden said, a lot of old men from Georgia in the SEC get to the NFL.
Well, hey, Mark, what are you still high on Logan Thomas?
Yes, I am. Even though, because everyone, they look at that game and they say, well, he doesn't look that good. Remember, the center and Logan Thomas are the only two returning starters on that offensive team. So all those players around him, they're brand new to him. So he's been practicing with those guys, but they haven't been put in the pressure of a game yet. And they found a way to get by, and they found a way to win in overtime. And I think he's going to get better and better. When you look at the tools that he has, you just don't find that. You don't find those guys that are 6'6", that have a real strong arm, that can run with a football, that's very athletic, and that can read defenses. And he's only getting better and better, but the supporting cast around him, they're not that good right now.
Well, I follow you on Twitter, so when I saw you do that, I immediately wanted to keep my eye on him, and I thought, that's a big old boy. And, of course, first thing popped into my mind was Cam Newton.
Well, he's Cam Newton's size.
Yeah.
And maybe straight on speed.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't have the athleticism as Cam has. Cam's okay. A special breed now. He's a guy that runs like a 5'8", 175-pound wide receiver. I mean, he's got agility. He can go side to side. You know, Logan's a big, strong guy that can run with a strong arm, but Cam Newton's a special guy.
Well, he can get better. I think you're right. He has to get better. But, I mean, it was a real good game.
Mark, I wanted to ask you, too. When you were here at the Touchdown Club, you got emotional at one point talking about the Penn State situation.
Yep.
Your thoughts on that game and maybe what that program is looking at in the future?
I thought that's what would happen in that game. I thought Penn State would come out and play at an emotional high early. But then when you got down to the second half, I wanted to see how the players carried themselves, if they can continue to play with that emotional high, and they couldn't. And Ohio's a good football team. You know,
yeah.
we talked about it before the game. Ohio's a good football team. They lost 4 games last year, 3 of them by a total of 8 points. They know how to play. They won their first bowl game in school history last year. So, you know, this is a team that they were going to go in there. They weren't going to be intimidated. And I'm pretty sure Frank Solich told them at halftime, we're right where we want to be. Let's go play our football in the second half, and we're going to win this thing.
Wow.
If you look at this Penn State program right now, guys, they're double-digit underdogs against Virginia on the road this week. They go back to Happy Valley, and I said it on the air. Are they going to continue to get this fan support? Because everybody said, it's going to be sold out. It's going to be a crazy crowd. That wasn't sold out. There were about 8,000 to 10,000 empty seats. Now, if they come back 0-2, and in about 4 weeks from now, let's say if they're 1-4, 1-5, do you really think they're going to get 90,000 plus showing up every week?
Well, I had an over-under earlier in the week, and you can jump in on this too. As a matter of fact, a couple of things I wanted to hit you with. Penn State can win at least 5 games this year.
I think at best. I thought if they could get to 6-6, it would be a great year. I'm looking at the way they played in their schedule. If they can get 3 wins, maybe 4 wins, I think they're going to be fortunate. Because there's not a lot of victories on that schedule that you can circle and say, that's a definite win right now.
I tell you, the two teams that surprised me were Notre Dame and Tennessee. They both look pretty good.
Well, Tennessee I thought would be really good this year. That was one of my surprise teams. And then Derek Rogers got kicked off the team. And it was like, you know, the reason why I like them is because their wide receiver is really good. Well, their junior college transfer played extremely well in that game. And they're as good as I thought they were. Because I thought if Bray was going to be the quarterback that he can be, he needs those wide receivers. And their offensive line played well. They're a team to keep an eye on. They're gonna get somebody this year. They're going to get to a bowl game this year. And I think it's going to be one of those things where they're probably going to get to 7 or 8 wins, and they're going to shock somebody along the way. As far as the defense, I thought Sal Sinceri played pretty well on that side of the ball. His guys played well against a pretty good opposition. So, you know, when I look at that, that's one of those things I was impressed with. The Notre Dame game, if you look at Navy, they only had 3 offensive returners on the offensive side of the ball, 3 on the defensive side of the ball. I thought that this would be a year they would struggle. But I was hoping that Navy might catch them. And it was one of those things when we were taking take your pick, it's like, I'm taking one for the team, I'm taking Navy. You know, I'll always take one for Navy. But Notre Dame did play well in that game, but they're going to get challenged this week against Purdue because Purdue can throw the football. And with the injuries they've got in the defensive backfield and some of the suspensions that they have on this football team, they can put a lot of pressure on Notre Dame.
Before I get back to Basil and Roger and let you talk about our Hogs, the SEC East, I think, is going to be very, very interesting this year. Georgia is probably still the favorite. You got South Carolina over there. Tennessee's looking pretty good. What do you see?
See, the same thing. It's going to be super competitive. And let's not forget, Florida, on paper, is supposed to be one of the best defenses in the country. They have 10 returning starters.
I was not impressed with them, though.
Not impressed at all. Even their defense. I was surprised that Bowling Green was able to move the ball against
their
defense, as easy as they were. But hopefully they'll get it together. We'll find out more about them as time goes on. But if not, this could be a short tenure for Will Muschamp down there. If they end up winning 6 or 7 games again this year, I think he could be in big time trouble.
Yeah, they're used to being 9-4 is a bad season.
Well, again, though, Mark, it is the first game of the season, and you can always have those kind of Youngstown State games.
Yeah,
oh, how does it feel being a Pitt alumni watching that?
That one was a tough one to take.
Mark.
It's one of those things. Hey. Remember these kids, this is their 4th head coach.
Yeah,
in 19
months. A nightmare. They've lived through a nightmare there at Pitt, you're right.
Yeah,
so hopefully they'll turn it around. I think they'll play a lot better tonight against Cincinnati.
They go to bed at night and wake up the next day, they got a new coach. They go
they
run down to Wendy's and they come back, they got a new coach.
Yeah. I know, they should have just kept Wanstead, just been done with it.
Yeah, I forgot they played tonight against Cincinnati.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, 2 things. Can you comment on Alan Pinkett? I understand that with Notre Dame, he's been suspended a couple of more games as far as the announcer, and Do you think Denard Robinson has Michigan State circled on the calendar even more now?
As far as Alan Pinkett goes, I think they probably went a little overboard on it. Yeah. Yes, he made those comments. Okay, so you suspend them for the one game. You made your point. Why suspend them for two additional games? I think they went a little overboard on that. And the thing is, I know they want to send a message and they want to make sure that this is Notre Dame, we do things the right way. That's great, but you made your point.
Sure.
It was national headlines when you did it against Ireland against Navy, so everybody got the point. But but the other thing, but I think Denard Robinson, the Michigan State game, Denard's never beaten them. So if you're Michigan State, you can go around and talk trash because you haven't lost to them in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about that game is, for Denard, I don't think that stuff bothers him. That stuff goes on all the time, and they're just going to take one game at a time. They've got other things to worry about. They've got Air Force coming in this week.
Right. What do you think about Air Force playing Savannah State 84-0?
Oklahoma State,
I'm sorry.
It was a glorified scrimmage. I think they would have gotten a better look if they practiced against each other.
You're right. That's a great point. Of course, the safety issue was brought up on Mike and Mike that next morning. I mean, you talk about all these safety rules, the helmet rules, and yet you put a team out there that can really probably could have been beaten even worse than 84-0.
You think it's going to get better this week? They have to go to Florida State.
Oh, I know. I know what I'm asking. I know.
And Florida State beat Murray State last week. What was it, 69-0?
Yep, 69-3? Sure did. Yeah, something like that.
No, you probably didn't get a good look at the Razorbacks. They won 49-24, didn't look overly impressive on defense at all. The offense clicked. You expected it to. They're playing Marilyn Monroe's little sister, Louisiana, this week, and the next week they play Alabama game. I think they've had circled all summer, so we'll certainly spend more time talking about that next week. But any thoughts on the Hogs?
Yeah, this is basically their second preseason game. Yeah. Where the schedule is set up.
Yeah.
But if they come out and they cough up two fumbles in the first three possessions against Alabama, they're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
They've got to fix that, and I'm pretty sure that they're working on that this week. But you know, the way the offense finally got better at the end of the game, Tyler Wilson had a big game, almost 370 yards, and you know, it's one of those things where you wanted to see what Niall Davis could do. At least that he got in there and he got a couple of bumps and knocked around, had 70 yards. You know, the offense was what it is. The defense you thought would play a little bit better, but it's the first week of the season. And it's one of those things where you know everything was put in was vanilla. They're not showing Alabama anything. And they're going to do the same thing this week against Louisiana Monroe. They're going to win the game, win impressively, but they're not going to show a lot.
Mark, always good to talk to you.
Great job, Mark. You know what? It's the first game of the season, so the same thing goes with the Cowboys this week.
Oh, golly.
Smoking and baby aspirin. That's why I take baby aspirin for smoking in the Dallas Cowboys every day. So we'll talk about the Cowboys next week.
Well, so they'll go 1-15. What's the
difference? Oh, well, we'll talk to Herm about that tomorrow as well.
Thanks, Mark. Brought to you by Edward Food Giant. Thanks, Mark. And Firestone Complete Auto Care. That's Mark May. We're just tickled pink to have him on the air. He knows his stuff. Boy, he does his homework, and he's got a lot of it. It's about 13 minutes away from 8 o'clock. Back in a moment.